In the lesson that I have here this morning, I made an error. I wrote Proverbs 30, 1 to 9. It should be Proverbs 31, 1 to 9. And I made that mistake about three quarters of the way through the lesson. I rewrote that wrong about eight times. So you might want to just go through. What happens is I get so wrapped up in the Hebrew. I'm very, very focused. I get so wrapped up in the Hebrew, the little areas I just overlook. You don't see the forest for the trees, and there's no excuse for it, but then nevertheless. So that's what we're in Proverbs 31 this morning, verses 1 and 9. Proverbs of Lemuel, namely his mother's instruction to him. Proverbs 31, 1 and 9 provides a unique selection of proverbs, a godly woman's advice to her son. Now its insight is priceless, because it comes from a caring party of the opposite gender, giving insight that a man does not readily notice due to his biased male focus in life. But that is nevertheless important to him as a man. You remember some time ago, I mentioned how important it was for a person to receive the instruction of the father and the mother, especially cross-genderally, because, if I can coin a phrase, because often, like say, you take a young woman who's growing up, she often needs to know how a man thinks. And the way she learns how to do that is by interacting with her father, because her father thinks like a man. And it's very valuable information that her father gives her, because her father cares about her, because he is her father, she is his daughter. So it's unbiased information in regards to her welfare. So it really is good for a young woman to pay attention to her father. It's also equally good for a young man to pay attention to his mother, because his mother has insight about women that is unbiased and that is in the best interests of the young man, because she cares about her son. So it's very, very good to get some cross-gender information. And here we have one of those priceless sections in the Word of God that provides it. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer this morning before we get into his word. Father, we thank you for your love, your word, your truth, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that as we get into the word, that we would understand the text, be able to use it, and that we would have the wisdom to apply it with diligence and with skill for blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'd like to start reading the passage, and then we'll look at it. And once again, I made a mistake. I wrote it as Proverbs 31 and 9. It should be Proverbs 31. 1 through 9. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy, or the oracle better, that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways unto that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him who is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Okay. Proverbs 31. 1 introduces the Proverbs of King Lemuel, noting that they were literally an oracle. It's the Hebrew word masa. It's not necessarily the word prophecy. Masa is an oracle. And an oracle was a weighty message that contained a threat or a promise. Now, many oracles were given by the prophets, but this is not necessarily prophecy. An oracle is just a very heavy saying. It has a huge threat or a huge promise to it. This is a mother who is talking to her son, and she is dead serious. She's not talking on the surface. She's talking deeply, and she's very concerned about an area in his life. Now, as I translate this, though we know nothing about Lemuel or his mother, these proverbs are canonical by way of Luke chapter 11, 50 to 51. And in Luke 11, 50 to 51, the Lord Jesus mentioned that from the blood of the prophets, from Abel unto Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple, the blood of those prophets will come on this generation. Those are the first and the last prophets in the Old Testament, according to the outlay or the format of the Jewish canon. We have a different format, but the same books. It's in a different order. But Jesus thereby condoned the canon, or the canonicity of the Old Testament as we have it. And so even though we don't know who Lemuel's mother was, we have to believe that she was writing here and that she was speaking under the direction of the Spirit of God, because this is in the Word of God and Jesus treats it as such. Accordingly, we view the special series of Proverbs and God's words as follows. Now, when I translate verses 2 and 3, I'm going to translate them literally from the Hebrew, but there's an idiomatic interrogative here. There's a lot more play that's going on, and I'm going to try to interpret this as I read through it in the way that a woman would be saying it in this culture. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows, the son born to a mother in answer to her vows to the Lord? Do not give your wealth or your strength to immoral women, nor your ways or your course of life to those who destroy, so that they blot out from memory kings. I wrote down here in order to get the flow, and I paraphrased, what? You can't be serious. My son, and what? You've got to be kidding me. And son of my woman, what? Are you crazy? This is how, you know, you would expect a mother to speak today. Well, human nature hasn't changed over the millennium, but this is what she's saying. Apparently her son was either contemplating cohabiting with immoral women, or he had started to do it, or he had talked about it, or he had mentioned it to her, and her mother was, what? Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Kind of a thing. And we've seen, and we've all witnessed mothers talking this way to their sons. But this is very valuable information because it provides us enormous instruction. This Proverbs teaches that godly women, such as Lemuel's mother, esteem men who use their male prowess, their position, and their influence in life for godliness, but that they are utterly disgusted at men who squander their prowess, their position, and influence as men in immorality, for that ends in defamation. So if a man wants to appeal to a godly woman, he must be morally upright. When I was in high school, I played football, track, basketball, and so forth, and I'm very glad that a lot of Christian girls were not in the locker room to hear what these guys would talk about and so forth, but I mean, that's just absolutely in the gutter. But when men, and especially young men, have a tendency to get together, often they try to boast themselves of their conquests of women, or boast about how many bottles of liquor they can drink without getting, you know, and so forth and everything. It's just the opposite when it comes to appealing to the kind of a girl that you want to marry. The girl that you want to marry is absolutely disgusted with that, wants nothing to do with it. She wants a man that she can respect, and she doesn't respect a man who's immoral. So this is a tremendous piece of instruction for a young man. If you are interested, at all interested, in marrying a girl that you're going to want as a wife, who's godly, who's upright, who's a lovely person, and so forth, you better just steer clear of immorality, because if you get immoral, forget about it. It's all over. And that's essentially what that instruction is. Now, a mother's instruction to her son on strong drink, and I put in here in parentheses drugs, because drugs would apply also with intoxicating alcohol and so forth. Verses 4 through 7. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. Remember, Lemuel is going to be a king. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for rulers or potentates to desire intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the laws that have been decreed. It's a pu'al passive intensive, so what has been decreed would be the laws. And they change or they pervert the legal cause or the plea of all the sons of the poor and the afflicted. Give intoxicating drink unto those who are perishing, and wine unto the bitter of life principle, or those who are bitterly wretched, or those who are in agony. This would be a person, for example, who is dying of a lethal disease and there's excruciating pain that is involved, that kind of a thing. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and not again remember his trouble or his toil or his labor. So men who wish to retain their prowess, their position, and their influence as men in the eyes of godly women must avoid substance abuse so that they can think clearly to administer well for the good of needy subordinates. Godly women see intoxicating substances as good only for those in agony who have to forget their pain. In other words, use these intoxicating substances only for medicinal uses, for people who are dying of cancer or who, you know, are in terrible agony and so forth. Now, it is interesting here in this theme, there's a theme that's coming up in the first section and in the second section too. Gives us an insight as to what a woman, especially a godly woman, perceives of a man that she admires, or the man that she's attracted to. She looks to a man who, yes, he's virile. Yes, he has power and influence and so forth, but he uses it in a constructive manner because there are lots of people around who need help, a lot of people who are weak. A woman often is thinking when she's looking at a man, what kind of a father he's going to be? What kind of a husband is he going to be when we have children and so forth? How is he going to interact with them? That's how she's thinking. And that's how this godly woman is thinking. What kind of a man do I want to have as the father of my children? And how is he going to treat the children? Is he going to be protective of them? Is he going to help them? Is he going to look out for their interests and so forth? Very, very important. Also, my interests, because I'm going to be under this man's authority. So, you know, what kind of a person is he going to be? And so, immorality and substance abuse are absolutely outlawed. You better get rid of it. And it's interesting, I know when I was growing up, especially in high school, and sometimes in the secular college, both of those situations were what men often would like to boast in when it came to sin, in regards to women and wine, or beer or whatever. And both of those, absolutely not. I think this is fascinating. Human nature doesn't change over the centuries. Now, the third instruction is the mother's instruction to her son on using his male prowess respectably. And this is verses 8 and 9 of Proverbs 31. Open your mouth, and this is a figure of speech for speak out for the dumb, namely those who are unable to speak, concerning the legal cause or the pleas. The Hebrew word din again that appears back up in verse 5. Of all the sons of those who are passing away or transitory or destitute. Halop means a person who is here today and they're gone quickly, probably because they are weak. Open your mouth or speak out or judge of righteousness and thus defend the just legal cause and plea, that's din again, of the poor and the afflicted, the word ani from verse 5, and the needy, ebyon. A godly woman expects and desires a man to use his male prowess, his position, and his influence in life to benefit the helpless in righteousness, very opposite, selfishly indulging in immorality and substance abuse. So many times, especially young men, think that what they need to do is to get around with the boys, the good old boys, and act tough. That doesn't impress a godly woman at all. What she is impressed with is a man who is strong, is virile and so forth, but he's very considerate of people who are around him, and especially those who are hurting, and he steps out to help them, because a woman says that's how he's going to treat me, because I'm not as strong as he is and so forth. So, and this is a godly woman. I mean, there are ungodly women who will have different views, but a truly godly woman, the kind you want to marry, the girl that you would like to marry, is looking for these things. Looking for absolute purity when it comes to morals. She's looking for absolute control when it comes to substance abuse. And she's looking for a man who uses his male prowess and his position to help people, to speak up for people who are helpless and need help. Because that's why God has given men the position and the power, the influence that he has. He's given it to them so that they can help people who can't help themselves as well. That's why they're there. That's why they're in the position. So we need to keep that in mind. Okay, may we align with God's fixed moral order in each of these realms for blessing. And once again, for those who might have come in late, I made a typographical error. Three-quarters of the way through this, I mentioned that this was out of Proverbs 30, 1 through 9. It is incorrect. It is Proverbs 31, 1 through 9. Please correct that as you go through. I'm going to have to get back in the computer. I just saw it this morning. I get so wrapped up in the Hebrew that I can't see the forest for the trees for the more obvious things, and I messed up. But I wanted to let you know that this morning. And this is proof positive that Don Schell is not infallible. I could never qualify to be a pope, so you can relax. Oh, well, the Lord has his ways of teaching all sorts of things. Okay, we'll open it up to you for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on one of the subjects that we covered this morning. It doesn't have to be. It could be on something else, and we'll do our best through the Word of God.